time for Hyper Nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
Is there an affiliate program for cheese fries?
I don't know. We should find out.
I feel like we're going to be selling a lot of cheese fries coming up, and we want to get our cut. We don't want to be paid in money commissions. We just want some of your delicious cheese fries. Right, Jen?
Sure.
Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. It is a podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm actually doing pretty good.
I don't understand.
I know. It's kind of hard to believe.
Energy level / tonal quality of your voice. I want to know what you've done with who you are and what you've done with my wife.
Well, I was really sick yesterday, so I guess eventually it had to even out. Plus, I've been taking copious amounts of antihistamines all day, so that probably helped as well.
All the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Going into you, all the drugs.
Yep.
We got to talk about something that's really important. On a recent ep, I don't remember if it was the last one or the one right before. I mentioned my excursion to the Buffalo Wild Wings,
mm-hmm.
or the B-dub-dub is right. what we like to call it.
Right.
And that I'd had some not exactly quote-unquote cheese fries. Well, this has apparently set off an international firestorm of cheese fry sales. Because listeners to the show, Ben and Drewy, they went out and got cheese fries of their own. Now, they're in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because they were listening to our show, and you talking about the cheese fries inspired them to get some cheese fries.
And Drewy actually posted a photo of his, you know, of their cheese fries on Facebook, and he tagged me on that, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool.
And the next day, you know, I went out to get something to eat. I took the bus to downtown San Luis Obispo. And it was kind of early in the day, you know, it was just in that period where it's sort of like still kind of breakfast, but starting to head into lunch. And this was a Saturday. And I was thinking about going to, today's Sunday still, right?
Yes.
So it was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about going to Luis's place. And I love Luis's, but
it's a local little restaurant. It's small, and it's got good food. And they're only open a small number of hours.
Yeah, they're only...
They're doing fabulous, you know?
Well, they're only open till 3, but clearly it's working for them. And it's kind of renowned for its breakfast. And on the weekends, especially when the tourism starts to pick... I mean, really, it's like this pretty much all year. Because kind of the thing about this town is... We're flooded with college students for, you know, 9 months out of the year, roughly, and the other 3 months out of the year we're flooded with tourists.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, also, if you thought it was busy yesterday, it's because everyone's got that 3-day weekend.
Well, there is that.
So, yeah.
And I thought, all right, well, I'm going to – and actually what I was going to do is I knew it was going to be super busy. And I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to get an order to go. And I'll just find some nice place to kind of sit outside and eat. Because you can do that.
Yeah,
I've done it before.
Do. A lot of people do.
It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I called them and they didn't answer the phone. Now, that's not so unusual. And by this point, you know, I was only a few blocks away. So I figured, oh, well, I'll just head over. And they were... That was insane. I mean, they were, you know, they have a couple of tables out front. Those were full. People were lined up outside, and the inside was just a madhouse. You know, the people were swinging from the rafters while they were enjoying their omelets. It was insane. I went, well, I guess I'm not going here today. And I thought about, you know, well, what am I going to have, you know? And I kind of thought back to, you know, the whole cheese fry thing. I thought, ooh, I should get some cheese fries. Now, the area where I was at, this is not anywhere near the B-dub-dub. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't really go back there for cheese fries. So I started kind of cycling through the available options in my mind, and I remembered once that I had gotten an order of cheese fries at Frank's Hot Dogs, which, you know, was kind of a haul from where I was. I mean, it's probably, you know, round trip. It was probably about 8 blocks or so. But I thought, you know what? As the newly enshrined president of Cheese Fry Club, which we're launching Cheese Fry Club today, I figured I should probably make sure my membership is current and go out and get some delicious cheese fries. So I walked all the way up Monterey Street, under the train bridge, past iFixit headquarters, all the way up, and I went over to Frank's, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do because I didn't know if I wanted to hang out there and eat or not. So, and this actually makes sense based on what you said about, you know, thinking about it being a holiday weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I get into Frank's and it is nuts. Now, I think one of the things that this town suffers from is we don't really have a lot of, like, good kind of places for breakfast, either on the Louise's end, where it's more like a diner and you go in and sit down and order food, or even on more of the fast food end, like they do at Frank's, and they do have breakfast there. So again, I'm in that kind of weird zone in between, and I get in there and I figure, okay, well, I'm just gonna get a hot dog and an order of cheese fries to go, because there wasn't really anywhere to sit. Like, every now and then, you know, like a full-size booth would open up, and I'm like, I can't sit in a booth by myself in a place this busy. Like, other people need to sit there.
Yeah, you probably have families looking for that booth.
And the other thing about Frank's, you know, it's kind of close to the university, and not surprisingly, you know, it was a lot of backwards ball capping and high five clapping type dudes, if you know what I'm saying.
So a bunch of dude bros then, I think, is the way the internet is calling them now, this kind of group. I think we would have called them frat boys back in the day, but they may or may not be. But that, okay.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm being shunned once again. Everything I love is rejecting me, so I get in line and I order my food, and the guy tried to say, well, we're not actually serving lunch yet. And I kind of went, what? Because I knew that by the time I got up there, it had to be probably close to 11:30. And I think they were just so busy that he didn't realize the time. And he kind of turned around and looked at one of the guys cooking, and the guy kind of gave him, you know, he gave him the nod, kind of like, it, you know, it's go time for lunch, man. Let's do it. So he said, yeah, that'll be fine. Order my food, wait around for like a month, and finally they call my name, grab my food, leave. And then I go all the way back to where I started. I walk into Luis's, and I just sit down at the counter and start eating my hot dog. No, that's not actually what I did.
No, you wouldn't do that to Luis's anyway.
That's not actually what I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just went in, and I threw it at them. I threw the bag and everything at them, and I said, why? Why can't there should be just a seat reserved for me here every day?
Oh, come on.
Why? I kind of feel like, really, as a local, you know, like I kind of am lucky in that I really, most of the days that they're open, I could go to Luis's tomorrow and eat if I wanted to. I don't have any money for it, but I could.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that, you know, well, let the tourists have their chance. You know, they're probably out here from some horrible place that's inland. You all know the places I'm talking about. They're going to have to go back there. But tomorrow I wake up in beautiful San Luitin, and I can go to Luis's if I want. I'm assuming that, I guess, well, tomorrow is the actual holiday day, mm-hmm. Observed holiday. Now, I don't know what goes on with this Memorial Day. This year it's really weird because they're having the day itself on the calendar, I believe, is May 30th. Yes, no?
Yeah, it was. Confirm? It was.
Like the official day, like when they made it into a law.
And that was the day.
They said, hey, y'alls, we going to have us a Memorial Day. It going to be May 30th.
Yeah, and I wrote something about this not too long ago, but I can't remember all of the details. But from what I recall, it came from Decoration Day, when people were going and decorating the graves of soldiers that had served their country. And so they renamed it at some point Memorial Day. I could probably look this up if you want complete accuracy, but it did get changed to Memorial Day officially, and it was like officially a federal holiday. Then they did pick May 30th when that's my birthday. When I was born on Memorial Day. So
like the first one ever?
No. Oh. It was previous to that. And
Born previous to when you were born?
Yes, exactly. I am a time traveler, you know. That's how it works.
About this.
So anyway, no, seriously though, it was established as May 30th, and that was the day. Whatever day May 30th fell on, that was more Memorial Day.
Well,
what happened as time went on, any of those holidays that had an established day, people started pushing them to the nearest weekend so that people would get a three-day weekend.
Yeah, and a lot of the federal holidays happen like that. So Labor Day, Memorial Day.
Right, it gets pushed to, it doesn't matter what the specific day was anymore. It's, you know, the weekend sort of closest to that or something. So people get, you know, that Monday off or Friday
and
off.
I think that the push seems to be, let's have the observed day fall on a Monday. And because of the fact that the 30th this year falls on a Saturday, instead of having, they don't want to have it after the actual holiday day. So they're having it the Monday before. So it's weird. So it's like, this is like the sort of officially observed Memorial Day weekend. We're in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the actual holiday day is going to happen next Saturday. So,
yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think the official day isn't the official day anymore. I think it's, I think it's the 3-day weekend thing. And, I think originally the thought was this would give people more time to actually go and, you know, honor the dead that died from serving their country, that kind of thing. But that's not what happens for the most part. I mean, people do that, and that's important. But I think if you just randomly go online and you type in Memorial Day weekend, you're going to find ads for like mattress sales and things like that. You know, like it's become this huge sales thing. Any 3-day weekend has become this huge, huge sales thing. And, you know, it's all about the corporations making money. But in any case, Memorial Day did have a specific day. It was May 30th, and then they changed it later to do 3-day weekends, and there we are.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. You know, we have such a wrong relationship with these kind of holidays in America.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one thing when you hear about it's the Memorial Day mattress sale or the Memorial Day big screen TV sale. That's bad enough, but with all these things, right? Labor Day is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay.
Labor Day is even,
it's even worse.
In some ways it's worse because with Memorial Day, if you have a loved one who was in the military and died for their country, you could take Memorial Day. And if you live near where they were buried, you could go visit the grave. You know, if they're far away, you could theoretically make arrangements if that's what you wanted to do to travel there. You can do that. But Labor Day was originally designed to honor workers for all the things that they do. Yeah. And it was supposed to give them a day off. And now it's like, nope, if you work retail or really restaurants or anything else, unless you're in like an office type environment, then you might get the day off. But if you're actually doing like physical labor, dealing with customers face to face kind of stuff, you don't get that day off. The day that was meant to honor workers, you're stuck working. And your boss will tell you, no one's getting Labor Day weekend off. You're all going to be here. It's like, well, do you realize what this was for?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that one's even worse. It's even more hypocritical. in some ways, because there is no way for the majority of workers to celebrate Labor Day, which is supposed to honor them. It is possible for people to choose to go on Memorial Day and do what it was intended for. A lot of people don't, but they could, you know?
Well, anyway, so, you know, I'm walking back. I go all the way back to where I started. I walked all the way up the hill to Frank's, got my food, walked all the way back, went into the Starbucks buck, threw my hot dog at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why aren't you Luisa's?
Yep.
And they called security.
Who stands outside the Starbucks, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Starbucks, Barnes & Noble, very, very secure.
Very, very secure.
From a security guard perspective.
Constantly has a security guard standing right between those two stores. Yeah.
So, anyway, I go in there, I order a drink, and right along sort of the front of the Starbucks. This is, I've mentioned this before, that's where I go, and I can sit, and I can play Ingress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I totally forgot to do.
Oh.
Yesterday.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I've been really slacking a bit on my ingressing. I've been out. I've been walking around and stuff. I tend to forget. Part of the problem, too, is, and I think I mentioned this, but the iPhone 6 Plus is impossible in sunlight. I think I'm just going to have to get over myself and get one of these screen glare protectors or something like that.
Yeah.
But, so I go and I sit out there and I eat. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I got tagged in cheese fry pick. So I gotta get my cheese fry pick on. So, you know, I eat my hot dog, open up my fries, take a picture. And that's when it dawned on me that what we have here, what we're building, is an exciting new internet community called Cheese Fry Club. So this is how Cheese Fry Club works. You go out, you get some cheese fries. Now, we're going to have to put down some ground rules because we don't want no shenanigans around Cheese Fry Club. So, there are things that are acceptable. So, let's say, for example, you go out, you get some fries, you make some fries, whatever the case is. You know, even if you want to put, like, vegan cheese on there, that's fine. But there are rules we have to be very clear about. So for example, you bake yourself a potato, put cheese on it, not in Cheese Fry Club.
Well, that's not fries.
You know, home fries, acceptable. Hash browns, I don't know, you're starting to walk the line. And absolutely not potato chips. Unless, maybe, they're like the kind sometimes you can get in restaurants where they're like made on site.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, you know, you can't go out, get a bag of, you know, cheddar cheese ruffles and be all like, I'm in the club, yo, because you ain't. And then what you do is you take a picture of your cheese fries, you put it on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you got, Elo. I don't know. We'll never see it on Elo.
Is Elo still a thing?
I'm sure people's using it. Not me.
Hmm.
Or whatever else is out there. MySpace is still kicking around, I guess. Whatever you're on, you go on there, you post your picture, hashtag Cheese Fry Club. Now you got to put that all together. So you can get, it's C-H-E-S-E, well, #CHEESEFRYCLUB.
Yeah, just those three words.
Cheese Fry Club.
Cheese Fry Club.
Now, I understand that certain parts of the world actually refer to fries as chips.
Right.
And the problem with the world is this only works with one hashtag. I don't want to have to monitor Cheese Chip Club or Cheesy Chip Club, or whatever the hell you countries want to do with the way you call things.
Well, if you look at it, though, you just said you are the president of the Cheese Fry Club, right?
I'm the founding.
And you live in the United States, so you're an American, so I suppose it's proprietary to where you live, you know? Like someone in the UK might not do cheese fry club, you know?
No. There's only...
I mean, companies make their names based on where they're based from, you know? I mean, IKEA didn't change their name after they went to different places.
There's a singular club. It is worldwide. And that's all there is. If you want to have local chapters...
Oh, well, there you are. Yeah, you can do that.
You have to petition to the worldwide organization to be considered for, you know, opening a local chapter of Cheese Fry Club, or, you know, if you need to alter it for your own, you know, locality, then we can consider it. But for now, there's only one Cheese Fry Club, and we need everyone to get on board and get involved. And it would really help if you're gonna, you know, post your Cheese Fry Club pics on Twitter. Maybe you could add Hyper Nonsense in there.
Then it'll be easier to find.
Because it just makes it easier for all of us. And I don't know if you're on Facebook. If anybody wants to be friends with me on Facebook and you're not, I rarely turn down an application there. So Facebook.com/SeanMX is SS. SHAWNMX. You can find me there. And like I said, I don't really ever turn anybody down. I think most of our listeners are already friends with me anyway. So there you go, Cheese Fry Club. Get on it.
There
so what else? Go. What else do we have? Do you want to talk about all your blood tests and everything?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I'm kind of mad. So it's kind of a rant, but not a big one. So 3 months ago, I went and went to the doctor and had a blood test, and they determined that I had bacteria infections. They gave me antibiotics, no big deal. And I had a severely low, like, deficiency. I had a big deficiency of vitamin D, like, to the point where the doctor was frightened. Okay, so they did a blood test. You know, that they determined that from a blood test they took because we were testing for rheumatoid arthritis, which it turns out I don't have. This doctor that I am seeing doesn't know anything about arthritis or autoimmune diseases or allergies, really, you know? She has some minor allergies, I think. Like, everyone has tiny little minor allergies. Like, everyone's sure, allergic to dust. I mean, that's, you know, pretty standard for humans. But, you know, anyway. So, at that time, she said, okay, so you've got, you know, here's a prescription for the, you know, prescription strength vitamin D, honestly, and the antibiotic. And come back in 3 months. You know, take these as directed. Come back in 3 months. We'll do another blood test a week before the appointment. You know, and we'll see where we're at. I'm like, okay, cool. So I made an appointment for 3 months, which would put it, you know, this month in May, because it was March. You know, anyway. So I know from the first time around, you know, I had to fast for the blood test and all this. So I figured, okay, that's probably what I'm going to have to do again. So I did it again. I did the whole fasting thing. And I hate that. I just hate that. I get so grumpy and I can't eat the Snickers. You know what I mean? Like, if you eat the Snickers, you have to start over and do this again, and I won't have the patience for that. So did that. Go in, get the blood test. Okay. Now, the first time they did a blood and urine test, and I thought, okay, they're going to do that again, but they didn't. And so I came in, and it's the same lab in the same building, same, I think phlebotomist might be the right word, if she's taking blood.
Yeah.
Same woman, you know. And I told her, yeah, you know, I had to fast again, but I did it better this time because I remembered you told me to, you know, how many hours it should be and not to go over, and that I was drinking a lot of water like you told me to. And she said, oh, you didn't need to fast for this. I'm like, really? Well, nobody told me this, you know? Thanks, you know? And then she didn't want a urine test. So I'm like, okay, I don't even know what you guys want anymore, you know? So she took the blood test and said, okay, well, we'll know, you know, a couple of days we'll have results, and you know, are you going to see your doctor? I'm like, yes, I'm going to see my doctor next week about it. And she said, okay, cool, we'll have enough time to get the lab done, you know, all good. All right, so I come in next week, you know, to do the doctor's appointment that we scheduled 3 months ago. And I come in, and I walk into the office, and or the, I don't know, it's a big building with a bunch of different suites, different offices. I walk into the right one, and it's empty. I'm going, that's really weird. You know, it was a later appointment, so that maybe they, I don't know, went through everybody that was a walk-in. It's really weird. It's kind of quiet. I'm like, okay, one person behind the desk, she's on the phone. And I, you know, get her attention. I'm like, yeah, I'm here, and this is the name of my doctor, and I have an appointment at this time. And she said, oh, Well, your doctor's in Templeton, which is a town very far away.
Yeah. It's far enough away.
I was like 15 minutes early, maybe, but I would not make it to Templeton in 15 minutes. It was not possible. And I'm just like, how is she in Templeton? We made this appointment 3 months ago. You know, I'm like, nobody called me for this. And she's like, oh, I'm really surprised nobody called you because they tried to call people and they didn't. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to Templeton, so you better make another appointment. So she did. And she's like, well, you can come in tomorrow. And I'm like, well, I already have another doctor's appointment because I had an acupuncture appointment. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. Pick another one. You know, so she put it the week ahead. And so basically what we have here is in the 3 month time span between when I followed the directions, you know, made the appointment, followed the directions, got the blood test, came in for the appointment. Somewhere in between there, the doctor's schedule changed so that 2 days a week she's off in Templeton instead of San Luis Obispo. I mean, I wanted a doctor that was in town because this is like one of the bigger towns out here. There's no reason I should have to drive all the way to Templeton, you know. And no one called. Nobody bothered to call to say, hey, guess what? Your doctor's going to be in a totally different town. And if you don't want to travel there, you have to make a new appointment. Nobody bothered. No communication at all. I'm like, okay, kind of pissed off, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of pissed off. So we made the appointment and we had the blood work done, you know, whatever. So came in for that appointment. She was there that time. And I don't know what happened, but it's like she's just not being very helpful anymore, this doctor.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, and I've heard this happen before and I've had this happen before. As soon as the doctor figures out that you have severe allergies, and they're not like someone who's familiar with working with that kind of chronic condition, they just go, oh, well, I don't know what to do, you know, and then they tell you to exercise. And I'm like, I'm not going to magically be cured of allergies if I exercise. That's not how the body works, you know.
Right.
If that was the cure, I probably would have handled that because I was really active when I was really little, you know.
True, yeah.
I mean, I was in dance. I was in soccer. You know, I did all those things. If exercise is going to cure it, man, that would have done it. I didn't stop moving those years, you know. So I don't know what this is exactly. And she's like, yeah, well, you need to start exercising. And I'm like, uh-huh. How am I supposed to do that? You know, I told her about the horrible, like, three-month high pollen thing I went through that was real bad. I think I talked a little bit about this on the show previously, but this was the worst allergy season I have ever experienced in my life. And, I mean, this one was painful. This one was like, oh my God, what do I do kind of thing. And, I told her about that, kind of letting her know this is how bad it is, you know? And she's like, well, you need to exercise. And I'm like, eh, you know? And she's telling me, well, you know, you're still pretty low with vitamin D because she did get those test results back, and that, you know, it's right on the edge of being okay, but we'd like to get you farther so that you're really in the middle, you're in the bell curve of having enough vitamin D, and you know, you can like pick those up in the, you know, you can buy those over the counter if you want, and this is how much you need. And she's just telling me all these numbers and I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. You know? And I'm telling her, well, now we had a prescription. Because this is the other part with nobody communicating. We had a prescription at the local CVS, and you know, we called to say, hey, we need a refill. And they said, oh, well, you're out of refills. Should we call your doctor? And we said yes, and nobody told us anything beyond there, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, I don't know what happened in between, but it's not there. She goes, oh, well, I sent it. I'm like, I don't know. They're telling me it's not there, you know? And she went and checked on something, and she's like, yeah, it says they got it April 30th. And I'm like, I know we called since then, and they said they didn't have it. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So she put that in again. And she's not going to help me with my allergies. It's become abundantly clear. She doesn't care. She doesn't think it's important. She doesn't have any understanding of how serious this is. She's not an allergist. She doesn't care. But she's pushing exercise, which has nothing to do with anything that's going on with me. But this is what they do. This is the doctor's cop-out for chronic conditions. Well, you should just exercise. It's not going to cure your condition. It's not going to help your condition. They just feel like now they've told you something. So they can write down on their little chart, this is what I told the patient, I guess. It's not like they care. Or give an am, you know. So she's telling me she wants me to exercise 5 times a week to the point, and she made it very specific, you know, not just walking around or doing stuff, but like, you know, exercise to the point where you're breathing hard and you're sweating and your heart rate is up. And I'm like, this induces asthma. I know this, okay? You know, you're telling me to induce asthma. She's like, well, how often do you get asthma? I'm like, every time I do that, you know, that's why I don't do that. And she wants it 5 times a week for like half an hour a day, you know? And I'm like, you're telling me, you know, this is kind of intimidating. You're telling me to induce an asthma attack 5 times a week, every week.
Right.
This is not feasible, you know? And she's like, well, you can start slow. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. There hits a point where I have allergy-induced asthma, and it's going to go. And I'm not doing that five times a week. You know what I mean? No. I mean, what kind of doctor tells you, I'm telling her, this will induce asthma. I'm 42. I've been like this my whole life. I know what this is. I know exactly what my symptoms are. I know exactly when I need to stop before I have an asthma attack. You're telling me go ahead and induce that. You know?
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, do you have a rescue inhaler? And I said, well, I had one, but I haven't been able to get out the door in the last 3 months or do anything because of how bad the pollen was. So I don't have one right now. She goes, oh, well, we can prescribe one. And she prescribes one. And it's, you know, the standard one. It's one I used before. I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, you know, this is a lot. I mean, like, I know in the past I can push myself when I was 17, you know, I could push myself to the point where I was having an asthma attack and almost blacking out and know to stop. You know, and I could exercise to that point, but I'm 42. I don't think I can do that anymore. And she's like, well, you shouldn't have to, you know, that's not how it should work. I mean, you need to, you know, and she starts talking about, you know, your heart is a muscle and you need to exercise it and all this other stuff. And I said, is there something wrong with my heart? And she said, well, no. And I'm like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you need to do this now because, you know, when you get older, it's going to be harder and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? You know? And I'm like, I don't want to have an asthma attack five times a week just to meet this criteria, you know? And she's like, well, you could take it first. I'm like, it's a rescue inhaler. You're supposed to take it after you're having an attack. You're not supposed to take this as like that. She's telling me to take a rescue inhaler five times a week, every week. Do you know how fast I'll blow through that?
You know? Yeah.
If I follow those directions, and you know, I'm looking it up, it's albuterol. One of the side effects of albuterol, which I remember because I've experienced, is it makes your heart race. So she's telling me to put something in my body that's going to make my heart race and then try to make my heart race more. And I'm in my 40s. I'm like, lady. You know? Yeah. And she's also got, you know, forms. She's listed some of my allergies. She won't listen. She does not want to know any of my food allergies. She doesn't really want to know the extent of my environmental allergies. She's got no interest in my contact allergies beyond latex because that's something they can avoid, you know. But I mean, she doesn't care. She's like got no clue what's going on with me. And I'm trying to tell her and she doesn't freaking care, you know. So I'm not going to get any more help from this woman. So I think the next time I go in, if I go in again, it'll either be because I have like a huge sinus infection or because I need a refill of my EpiPen and I'm not going to bother with this anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what was your expectation that she was going to do for you?
Well, when I originally went in, I knew what my allergies were. I knew that my joints are in a lot of pain all the damn time, honestly. And they stiffen up. And it's all these signs of arthritis. So when I went in, I got tested for rheumatoid arthritis, figuring this is what the symptoms are. I know these are symptoms. I know it runs in my family. Let's test for this, which she did, which I don't have. But you don't just say, oh, well, you go, well, if you're still experiencing those symptoms, let's find out what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And she doesn't care. She doesn't give a fuck, right? So she assigns me another blood test. I don't know why, you know? And I go down the hall to try to get a blood test again. And I'm like, well, I don't know. She kind of said, she was talking about a urine test. I don't know if she wants that or this or what, you know. And so I go running back down the hall. The phlebotomist's like, well, we only have a little bit of time to get this sample before we have to send it to whoever it is that collects them and takes them to a lab or something. And so I'm like running back down the hall. I mean, literally not running because I don't want to have an asthma attack and I don't have the inhaler yet, you know. So I'm walking fast down the hall to ask the front desk at the doctor's office, does she only want a blood test for vitamin D? What are we doing? And so she checked, like, that's all she wants. I'm like, okay, go walking fast back down the hall, do another blood test. So that's two blood tests in 3 weeks. And that kind of fucked me up because I'm also anemic, you know? So I mean,
right.
And I'm just going, you know, if their solution is let's just make sure you have enough vitamin D, that's not going to cure anything, you know? And it just seems like the biggest cop-out ever. And between all of these things, I'm going, you know, okay, I'm on Medicaid because we don't make any money. And we are poor folk. So we're going to this, you know, CDC, which I don't think...
CHC.
CDC is something else. yeah, CHC. So, and that's, you know, where you go when you don't have any money. And there are people that go there that don't have insurance somehow. I don't know how this happens, but they don't. It's possible that they make too much for Medicaid, but they don't make enough to afford it and are exempt. There is an exemption in there somewhere, you know, at least in California. But, you know, I don't think the doctors that work here really want to work there. You know?
Yeah.
I think this is like... This is the equivalent of when I was a teacher and used to substitute teach at like the really bad schools. You know, it's not really where you want to be. This isn't what you chose when you got into this profession, you know? So I don't think they really care. You know, I don't think they care. And I was just wondering, like, if I made enough money to have proper insurance again, you know, would I have this horrible level of care going on? Or would they say, maybe call me before I come in for an appointment that was scheduled 3 months before, you know?
Right.
Would they maybe say, hey, okay, you don't have rheumatoid arthritis, but let's find out what else is going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like, my acupuncturist keeps telling me that my adrenals are low because go figure with everything wrong with me, right? And, like, my doctor doesn't want to hear any of that. No. The answer is exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, you don't have to go outside to do it. You could just, you know, put a treadmill in your house and walk there. I'm like, I live in a mobile home. There's no room for a treadmill here. It's a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
And she actually said, well, we can't buy you a new house, so let's find out what we can do. I'm like, well, I can find another fucking doctor is what I can do, you know, which is not what I said. But I mean, I'm not going to go there anymore because it's a waste of time. I mean, honestly, literally, to go in and not have and have your doctor magically be in another town and have no one tell you with a 3 month appointment, it's really a waste of time. And I just feel like, you know, she's not taking me seriously. She doesn't think the allergies are big. She's got it down on her forms that it's not chronic, which is a flat out lie. I think she just doesn't understand it and doesn't care to, cause she's not getting paid enough to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the first time I was there, she was like, oh, I love patients that are educated about their, you know, their own healthcare and their own bodies and what, you know, their issues are medically and all of that stuff. And that's not true, it turns out, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. So there we are. I'm kind of pissed off the medical system in a way. And I have applied for disability. We have the last appeals thing coming up someday.
At some point.
We don't know when. They haven't assigned a date. And I've been like gathering all this data, you know, because I've heard it's better to go in with a lot of data. And, you know, I've been like, I've got copies of exactly how high the pollen count every day was on the 3 months that I was incredibly sick. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to do me any good, but I'll give it a shot. But I think some part of me thought maybe this doctor would help, but I think she's actually going to be a detriment. I think she's going to file, like, they send your doctor stuff to fill out when you have an appeals case.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to say I'm perfectly healthy, which is a flat out lie. So I'm kind of pissed off about that. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have bothered. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's my rant about healthcare right now.
Okay. Well, you know, the only thing I have to say as far as that, I mean, as far as, I don't know, healthcare is concerned,
mm-hmm.
I had my first eye exam in over 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And for the most part, it was fine. You know, as anybody who listens to the show probably knows, I'm legally blind. And, you know, the condition I have with my eyes, it's not really treatable. So I had no great expectations of anything. I just figured, you know, I haven't been to an eye doctor in a while, may as well go. And it's really weird because their office, I'd never been there before, and it was in a weird location where it was in this weird office building where you had to, like, sort of go up a hill and then go around and go up another hill. It was really strange. And I figure, I was just thinking about it, you know, like, okay, I took the bus out there, so I was completely on foot, right? And I think that there are a lot of people who probably go to an eye doctor because, you know, they have something going on with their eyes. Like, maybe they need glasses or something else going on with their vision. So it's like, yeah, let's just take the eye doctor's office and just kind of hide it in the back.
Yeah.
Like,
so all the visually impaired people can't find it. That's great.
It was so weird because they had in this little complex there, and they had a sign up in the front that's kind of was a guide for where all the different offices were. And it said that the eye doctor was in Suite D, and that based on where I was looking at this sign, the building right behind me had Suites A through F in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, okay, that's the one I need is in there. And I walk over to this building and I go all the way around one side and I see Suite A, I see Suite B, and then I see, I think Suite C, and then I see Suite E and Suite F. And I'm like, what the hell? This is really weird.
That's weird. Why would they do that?
So I walk all the way around to the other side, to what really looks to me like would sort of be the back of this building, not a side that patients are necessarily supposed to enter in. And I don't see anything marked. And I walk back. I look at the sign again. Fortunately, I'd gotten there, you know, I'd gotten there probably, I don't know, 40 minutes or so before my appointment. And I knew I was in the right place because they had a big sign that said, you know, the name of the practice. It listed all the doctors and it had a big D on it. Not for vitamin D like Jen.
Right, yeah.
But for sweet D.
Which didn't go in the alphabetical.
So I walked around the whole building one more time. Didn't find it. And I'm like, man, this is really weird. So I took out my phone, looked up the number, called them. And they said, yeah, you have to go all the way around the one side and then actually sort of go up the hill a little bit. And it's there. And I said, okay, and then hung up the phone. And sure enough, you had to walk all the way around the first building that, in the way that I understood the sign that the eye doctor's office was in, you had to walk all the way around that. And then like right there, and I saw it this time. I didn't see it before, but there was actually a sign right there that said Sweet D and it had an arrow.
Oh, okay.
But it's like completely illogical. And the woman even said on the phone, she said, yeah, we don't know why when they made the buildings here, you know, the suites don't go in order. We don't know why they did that. But anyway, you know, I get up there and I'm still pretty early. And I get up there and there's a sign on the door that says, sorry, we're closed. The office is closed for lunch from noon. My appointment was at 1.
Mm-hmm.
They said from noon until 1. And I'm like, okay, so there's nothing else to do. I just take a few steps back on the sidewalk. And there was a little bench there. And I didn't really want to sit down. So I'm just kind of hanging around, you know, looking at my phone every now and then, just kind of waiting for the time to go by. And it's funny because more and more people are coming up. You know, they're coming up. They're seeing the sign on the door. They're walking away. At one point, a woman comes up and she sits down on the bench. And, like, more and more people are coming up. Like, it's starting to become, like, a crowd of people are waiting to get into the eye doctor's office. And then this woman comes up, and this was the day before Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman comes up, and she's got a big box with, I'm pretty sure it had a cake in it.
Okay.
And she comes up, and it's about 5 minutes to one. And she comes up, and she sees the sign. And she turns around to me and she goes, do you know what time it is? And I look at my phone. I tell her the time. And this woman that was sitting on the bench says, you know, if you want me to, because the woman with the cake box was clearly trying to make a delivery
right.
to someone mm-hmm. in the office.
Yeah.
And she ain't got time to wait. You know, she's running a business.
Right.
She's the cake. She's the cake mistress. She's got appointments.
Okay.
So the woman says, well, if you want me to, you know, I'll hang on to that. I'll you know, I'll take that in for you. She said, oh, that would be great. And she asked, you know, this woman her name. And so now the woman is sitting on the bench with the cake next to her. And I said, you know, we could just go ahead and rip into this right now, right? And she kind of just glanced at me, really not in an approving fashion. It's like, you know, they're making us wait. I mean, it's only fair.
Yeah. You're waiting, but here's
and
your cake.
And by now,
okay. I mean, think about that.
By now, it's me, the bench lady, the cake mistress, and there's like four or five other people hanging around. I mean, we could just have ourselves a party. We already have.
Well,
a
you
cake.
Have the cake, yeah.
You know, I yeah. pull up my iPad. Mm-hmm. You know, we could put on some party music.
Right.
Do it upright. And before that, and I don't know what was going on exactly, but there was an office. You know, the office right next to the eye doctor, I think they were closed for lunch too, because there was a point where a car pulls up and like three women get out. And I don't know, you know, it must have been, must have been a two martini lunch or something, because they were like, they were too energetic and having too much fun to be going back to work in a doctor's office. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
They're very loud, kind of boisterous, not using, PG-related language exactly. And They're walking up to this other office, and they get, there's a ramp that goes up to the door, and they get partway up the ramp, and they stop, and they look down on the ground, and there's a little kind of landscaped area there with like some bushes and grass and a tree or whatever. And they look down on the ground, and they're like, you know, they get all like real startled, like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, that the, whatever it was, you know, is there. And they're like, I don't know, it must have been like a snake or like a really large spider or something. I don't know what the heck they saw over there. And one of the girls, you know, they're like all giggly and like, you know, oh, don't make it mad. Don't irritate it or whatever. And I think one of the girls, like, because they all had drink cups from wherever they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the girls like poured a little bit of her drink on it or next to it or something. And they all like freaked out and ran inside because
Thing,
you know, moved half a millimeter or something.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what the heck it was. And I didn't want to go over and look at it because I didn't know what the hell it was.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you know, I didn't want to, it just seemed weird, you know, because they all ran inside. And at one point, a few minutes later, one of them came back out and looked at the thing again and went back inside. So it's weird.
That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell they had over there. Must have been like an alien baby or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
A small demon. So finally, you know, the cake mistress, you know, she's got appointments. She takes off. Finally, a few minutes later, they open the door. Everybody rushes in. We try to sign in, and the woman has the cake, and she had the name of who it was for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm figuring that this is a Mother's Day thing.
Right, because of the timing.
And it got me to thinking about how kind of annoying the culture is of delivering gifts to people in offices.
Mm-hmm.
And how, okay, because it's like it sort of becomes like an expectation, especially around Valentine's Day is the big
That's
one.
That's the big one, yeah.
Where
That's
it's almost
deal.
Like if you're, you know, if you don't receive a gift and you're, we obviously
don't
on
care.
This show, well, no, but I'm saying we on this show, which we try not to talk in generalities, but I think generally speaking, this is a thing where, you know, guys are kind of obligated to send some kind of a gift to their wives, girlfriends, cake mistresses, what have you. you know, I'm glad that in my life I've mostly been able to avoid this kind
right,
of
right. Well,
thing.
I mean, especially Valentine's Day. It's
and
like
I mean,
I'm allergic
well,
to
you
flowers.
Don't, well, you don't
you
care.
Know? I mean, really, I mean, I'm allergic to flowers. I can't, you know, you have to be very careful if you're doing chocolates and what's in them, you know, what could be in them. I can't do one of those like cookie bouquet things, you know what I mean? It's like, why even
yeah,
bother, man? Like,
it is true.
Buy me a bottle of wine, you know? I mean, I don't know. And like if I worked in like an office, like I'd want to share that, you know? Come on.
Yeah, you might have, well, you might run into other problems too, depending on exactly what
right,
kind of environment
yeah.
you work
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I don't know. It's not my thing. I'm not a mom, so...
Well, as it turned out, mm-hmm. You know, the woman who sort of became, you know, the cake delivery, you know, adjunct or whatever, she, you know, she came in and said, hey, someone, you know, delivered this for whoever it was. I don't remember the name. And then they said, oh, well, it's her birthday.
Oh,
so this was a birthday
okay.
cake.
So it was a birthday cake.
So for all I know, I mean, in my head, I'm thinking that this cake was delivered to someone in the office from, you know, a significant other. And for all I know, the office bought the cake because it's her
possible.
Birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, some places do that.
Yeah. I worked at a place that, was, you know, usually if there was a birthday or, you know, a few birthdays close to themselves, you know, there would be a cake or whatever in the mm-hmm. office and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And delicious. So anyway, I went in and had an eye exam, and this is what I can tell you is kind of good and bad about where I'm at as far as my vision is concerned. The eye doctor said, you know, your eyes actually are in overall in good shape. It's just your optic nerves are fucked, so that's why you have a problem.
Yeah.
Which no one's really ever explained to me before, so it was kind of good to kind of hear it that way. I mean, I didn't have any expectations really of anything otherwise, but he actually showed me some things where he's like, okay, like the way that your eyes are reacting here, this is the way a normally sighted person's eyes would react. It's just that your eyes are kind of, you know, broken at the base. So that's why you don't have, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, no great revelations there, but that was that. It was done. They did the, you know, they asked me if I could do the full deal with the eye dilation and everything. And I said, sure, why not? You know, I'm just taking the bus back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird for the rest of the day because, like, I came out of the office and I walked down to the bus stop and I wasn't sure how much time I had. And it was almost impossible to, like, see my phone versus, and, you know, it was in the daylight, of course, which didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
And impossible to see my phone versus when the next bus was going to come by. And I knew it wasn't going to be a long walk, so I just said to hell with it. And I walked back to the transit center. But it was kind of weird because, you know, when your eyes are dilated, it's kind of like, it's like you're in this mode where you just, your eyes are kind of like constantly squinting. And I had my sunglasses on. So I don't know how I looked to people when they looked at me. I don't know if they looked at me and went, oh yeah, that guy's had a rough night / day or what. But
who knows? I don't think most people pay that much attention.
Yeah. I don't know when your eyes are like that, what it looks like to other people, if you can even tell.
I don't know. But I don't really know.
So there's your medical wrap up. Now we need to talk about some other things. You know, I know that since we've relaunched the pod here, which I should say a couple of things. You know, we're coming up on. No, we're not quite there, but we're close to what'll be the 1 year anniversary, I think, of the
Relaunch
of the return.
Yeah, the return, the
glorious return.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but this show we're recording today is episode 40. So if you like, if you like round numbers, you know, we're at a round number. But we've talked, you know, pretty openly about kind of the ups and downs of our whole financial thing as of late. And there haven't been necessarily much in the way of ups. I mean, I guess when you're not in a down, you're in an up. Not that our ups have hardly, rarely ever matched our downs, but I guess there's been a couple. Regardless, this month is definitely trending towards the downside of the way things are going. Jen and I, as I suppose everyone knows, we do various freelance-y type things, and one of our regular clients, on pretty much no notice, cut back the workload. This is someone we both work for.
Right.
And
it's just one of those things that happens with freelance, you know?
You're at the whim of so many things that you can't control.
Right. The client is incredibly reliable, so this was not just somebody fucking around.
Right.
I mean, this was like circumstances beyond everybody's control kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, they had, you know, their financial situation changed, and as a result, they had to cut back on the amount they can pay people. And
we're hoping it's only this month, but we don't know.
So that was not so great. You know, because we were just kind of barely towing the line as it was. So when you have a drop in income, and anytime you have a drop in income, it's generally not good. This is kind of not good even more so. And then I got a letter from the wonderful county of San Luis Obispo telling me that they're canceling our food stamps again.
Yeah.
And this apparently was in response to, they had sent me a form to fill out. Because the way these things work is, anytime there's a change in your income, you're supposed to report it. Well, let me back up. The way that this was explained to me is this. The kind of letter, the sort of official way that they say is, if you have a change in your income or your living arrangements where somebody moves out, somebody moves in, whatever, you're supposed to report it. But really, when it comes to your income, they really only care if your income goes above a certain threshold, which ours never did. So, but every 6 months or so, they send out a form for you to fill out just to kind of update them on your situation, regardless of whether or not anything's changed. And I'd gotten the form, and I said, okay, well, I'll fill this out and get it back to them. And I don't specifically recall that the letter that came with the form said, we need to have this back by a certain date. I mean, I knew that I had to get it, I had to turn it around relatively soon, but, you know, I didn't think I had what turned out to be only maybe a week and a half at the most. I did fill out the form, and I mailed it on May the 13th, and a few days later, a few days later, I get a letter that says, hey, we're ending your food stamp benefits beginning June 1st because we didn't get this form from you. Have a nice day. See you later. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, yeah, great. So I don't really know what's going to happen with that. I'm working.
Well, we know we're not getting food stamps. We know that.
Yeah, but my assumption here is that I have to work going ahead that we're not going to get anything unless I go in and actually apply for the third time and basically start a new case with them. Now, maybe it's possible that if they got those papers, you know, that they process them and maybe there's a, you know, a 1 week grace period in there or something.
No,
I doubt it.
Probably not. A lot of these places are set up to screw you over, you know. Oh, it's the wrong day. You can't have this. Too bad.
So, you know,
that's kind of how they're set.
This is one of those things where maybe, you know, I should have read the papers a little closer. I should have acted on them a little faster. But I got it. You know, I got the form to fill out. And the other thing is, okay, when we got those benefits, I really wasn't making any money. I'm making some money now. It's not much. But I knew that I was going to have to, you know, we were going to have to provide proof of all the income we have. And because of, you know, when you work freelance, you don't get pay stubs.
Right.
So, you know, I had to like print things out.
That's another problem with these places. They don't understand freelance, you know?
Well, yeah, that's
they don't get it at all. I had this whole problem.
The same way with unemployment.
Right, with unemployment. They do not understand freelance, and that's why they harassed me so much, is because they couldn't comprehend someone working outside of, like, you know,
right,
working retail or something.
An hourly wage job.
Yeah, you know, they don't understand. So they're not set up for that, and that's ridiculous because more and more people are moving towards freelance kind of things in this economy. So,
yeah.
You know.
So anyway, as of next month, our financial situation is gonna, well, let's just be honest, it's gonna be worse than what it was, and it wasn't that great before. Way back when, you know, we had launched the Patreon and kind of talked about our bankruptcy and all that, you know, we had some listeners that were a little behind, and that happens. That's just the nature of time shifted mm-hmm. media. You know, listen to it when you want.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those people was Tigger, and she actually joined our Patreon at the time, but she had also made a suggestion to me about, you know, sort of putting together like a wish list, an Amazon wish list for things that we need that aren't like just things we want. So, you know, not books or, mm-hmm. I mean, look, if someone wants to buy me a Line 6 M20D mixer.
Yeah.
And
no, but she's
Mac
talking
Pro.
About things like we had one of the cooking pots sort of break recently, and we went looking at thrift stores to try to find
and
a new one, and we didn't find
well,
one.
Well, yeah, and that, yeah. You know, that's not as a something's knocking somewhere. I don't know if you heard that. I did. I don't think it was on our place. Anyway,
I didn't hear it.
So what I did earlier, somebody's knocking on something nearby. I don't believe it's our home, but anyway, what I did earlier today is I made a wish list. Okay. Now someone's yelling, open the door. So it's not here. I'm going to try not to worry about it anymore. Neighbors were having a party earlier, and sometimes that things happen around those. So anyway, I made a wish, an Amazon wish list earlier, and this is of things that we need. This is pretty much all food stuff, you know, non-perishable in the sense that it you can buy it in bulk, and it can sit, you know, it can be shipped without, you know, trouble. Like we're not asking for, you know, 20 pounds of ground beef or
no, you know, we don't eat that much meat anyway.
You know, a live chicken. None of that kind of thing. But it is all things that when we go to the grocery store, we buy. So it's things like, you know, black beans.
We eat a lot of black beans, actually.
Black beans, tortillas, some of the different kind of pasta that we get. And it's there if you would like to help us out, if you thought ever about helping us out. But maybe you hear our stories about how kind of financially screwed we are, but you're like, you know what? If I give a donation to those guys, they're just going to take it straight over to the Starbucks buck. If you want a way to kind of, you know, help us out in that regard, then you go to hypernonsense.com/support, and about midway down the page, there's a thing there for the Amazon wish lists, and the first one is the list I'm talking about, which is pretty much all food. And then there is a link to Jen's wish list and to mine. I will say this, that as Jen kind of said earlier, her birthday's coming up, but
I'm not asking for that.
No,
that's not. I don't care. I'm turning 42. It's not a milestone. I don't care. It's not a big deal.
But maybe
the other list is a big deal.
Maybe if you know, you bought maybe in honor of Jen's birthday, if you bought her some, you know, gluten-free penne pasta.
That would be great. That would be great.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And for those of you that aren't in the, you know, that don't normally shop the gluten-free stuff, you know, I know how wonderful, like, those 89-cent boxes of spaghetti are.
But
unfortunately,
I can't safely eat them.
Jen can't eat that, so the gluten-free stuff tends to run at a bit of a premium.
Right.
But, you know, there's other things on there that aren't necessarily quite as expensive. So if you've ever wanted a way to kind of help us out without just giving us money directly, you can do that. Of course, we've said before, like, you could send us Target gift cards. I promise we won't spend them at the Starbucks.
No,
we'll actually buy groceries with them, which is what we
did
before.
We have been buying groceries with them. Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of stuff, it would definitely help. And, you know, hopefully, the thing is, like, you know, the thing that's so frustrating about money problems is ultimately at a certain level, it's something that everyone faces. And I know, like, it gets old, and we live in this world now where everybody is doing a podcast or a blog or, you know,
or both,
or a Twitch
or several
stream,
yeah,
or they're doing some other project that, you know, they've got a Patreon or they're asking for donations. And I know that we kind of live in this world of constant, you know, give me money fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I face it, everybody faces it. And I don't want this podcast to always sound like that. But, you know, at this point, it really would help. I mean, it really would help.
Right. Well, so, the other thing with this podcast is we've been pretty open and honest about, I mean, this is kind of like about our lives, you know.
Well, yeah, that's
mainly
what the, right.
And so it's not like, and I think it's different from if you had a podcast that was about, I don't know, a TV show or something, and you started talking about your money problems,
exactly,
all the time. It might be different,
right,
but this one is specifically about our lives. I mean, we're pretty open about,
that's just part of what this show is.
It's what Hypernonsense has always been, no matter what iteration it happened to be. But, so, I mean, that's just where we're at, you know?
Yeah. So,
I would love to not have to talk about money and health anymore. I would love to be in that position.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will say this, I mean, we're working on a project right now.
Yes.
That when it is completed, will actually pay us some money. And, you know, I looked into some more. I started poking around on a new freelance site earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's kind of this stereotype of people who are poor because they just sit around and watch TV all day. And then, you know, like we're. And you know what? I almost don't even want to call us poor.
Well, we're not homeless.
Because I look around, you know, I look around this room. We've got two we've got, you know, there's two, relatively new, you know, shiny iMacs in here. We both have iPhones.
But we didn't buy them new, you know.
But, well, my point to say all this is, you know, every day in this town, I run into people who really are living hand to mouth.
Right.
And thankfully, we haven't gone down that far yet. And I think, I mean, we're one big emergency away from possibly being there.
Yeah.
But we've got resources. We've got resources. And that's why I try to not refer to myself or us as quote unquote poor. I realize that in this country where we have a perception of what it means to be middle class, we are definitely below that.
Well, if we weren't, we wouldn't have qualified for the food stamps in the first place, and it wouldn't be on Medicaid. I mean, there's a statistical, you know, thing saying this. It's not just that. And all the computer stuff, this is how we're making money.
Yeah, I mean, these are the tools by which we generate.
This is how we do, like, the freelance writing work, or in your case, a lot of editing work, or, you know, whatever we're recording. You know, this is the means to making money.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just souping up a really awesome game machine or something, you know, going on Twitch or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what we're doing.
Right.
But y'all know that.
So anyway, enough about this. Hypernounces.com/support. Any way that you can help us out. And since I haven't mentioned in a while, I am going to mention the Patreon. You can go to Hypernounces. It's linked on the support page, but you can go to Hypernounces.com/Patreon. It'll shoot you straight over to the thing. And, you know, our intent with the Patreon specifically is the money that comes into Patreon goes directly into the show. And I will say this, that unless it really comes down to, like, okay, we cannot eat or we can pull the Patreon money, I'm going to pull it. But so far we haven't touched it. And my hope is to just let it sit and accrue until it's time to pay the web hosting bill.
Yeah.
And by the time we get there, that will have mostly accumulated to pay for most of it. And I'll tell you that for us doing this, that's a great feeling, because it means that, you know, for the most part, because a lot of people get into podcasting and it costs money. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to pay in order to do it at some level.
Right.
And in this case...
Well, I mean, you're paying for hosting. You're paying for, if you don't edit yourself, you're paying for editing. You're paying for possibly logo art, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying for your gear, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things in
there. But my point in just saying that is, you know, I don't want people to feel like, you know, I cash out the Patreon on the first of the month, and then, you know, we just go out and buy a family size peanut butter cups, rent a movie down at the Crossroads Vidya,
which still exists,
which is the last video store standing, apparently. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. I mean, it really is for hosting. I think that's what we said on there. I haven't read it in a while, to be sure.
Yeah,
but,
and I'm going to be adding. We're going to be doing some more stuff soon with the Patreon, and kind of adding some incentives and all that. But anyway, thanks everybody. Enough of that. Hypernounces.com/support. It's all there.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this email I got.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember. I know you told me this email. I don't remember much about it. Like I said, I've been sick and on a lot of drugs. But
now, a couple of my...
It was interesting. I'll put it that way.
A couple of my email accounts are actually handled by, you know, the mailboxes themselves are actually handled by DreamHost. Speaking of our web host.
Yeah.
But I use Gmail to kind of handle the mailboxes, because DreamHost's kind of default mail handling does a really bad job with handling spam. So I run everything through Gmail just to kind of make that a little better. And I got this message from, it's actually from Gmail. It says it's from the Gmail team. And what they're essentially telling me is that there was a message from one of these DreamHost mailboxes that they scanned and said, you know what, we don't actually want that to even come across our server, we're going to leave it there.
Oh, my God. That's that bad.
So this is to me from Gmail team. The subject reads, message left on server, colon, quote, my pussy.
That's the name of it. That's probably enough for them to go, no.
It says, the message, quote, my pussy, from Jessica, followed by an email address that is on the domain basket.sk, basket.sk, which sounds totes legit, contained a virus or a suspicious attachment. It was therefore not fetched from your account and has been left on the server. Now, what will happen is, after 30 days, DreamHost will just delete this. So overall, we were saved.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw this, I thought, you know, this is a pretty handy thing that Gmail has done. They've effectively inspected Jessica's pussy for me and told me it is full of viruses. And that... now, that's the kind of thing, if you could get that in a mobile app, you'd save a lot of trips to the clinic. Just saying.
Or some people would. That's hysterical.
All
there
right.
You go. Mm-hmm.
That's the closest thing I can say that we have to feedback for this episode.
So. Yeah, we don't have any. But we didn't do a show last week, so that's fair enough, I think. I don't think we can complain about not having feedback if we didn't do a show.
Well, we've done other shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, let's finish out with this. So I think most people know that California is in, deep into the depths of a severe drought that's been going for years. And we may have a savior in the form of a guy that knows a thing or two about saving a planet, that being Captain Kirk. So listen to this. Are you ready, Jen?
Uh-huh.
For generations, water-hungry Southern California has jealously eyed the rainy Pacific Northwest as a potential source of the precious resource, and time after time it has been rebuffed. When Los Angeles County Supervisor Kenneth Hahn in 1990 proposed digging aqueducts that would grab water from the Columbia and Snake Rivers, Oregon Governor Neil Goldschmidt responded, "I have the distinct impression you are trying to steal my water." Well, actor William Shatner has waded in with his own improbable plan. Quote, I want $30 billion to build a pipeline like the Alaska pipeline, say from Seattle, a place where there's a lot of water. There's too much water. The Star Trek actor told Yahoo's David Pogue, how bad would it be to get a large four foot pipeline, keep it above ground, because if it leaks, you're irrigating.
Oh, yeah, it's just water.
Shatner said he plans to launch a Kickstarter campaign to raise the cash. The 84-year-old actor's idea comes at a time in an era when California is trying to better conserve water rather than get more from outside the state, but that wasn't always the case. The Golden State was trying to get a hold of Columbia River water way back in the 60s. Around the same time, some in Alaska floated the idea of building a 1,700-mile pipeline to bring water to Southern California. But it wasn't until 91 that then-Alaska Governor Walter Hickel came to L.A. to meet with Hahn to discuss the idea. Hickel believes the pipeline could be built on the back of a huge barge and lowered to the seafloor like a big garden hose as the barge moves south. Because it would be under the sea, the pipeline could be built of reinforced plastic instead of concrete and steel that would be needed to withstand the rigors of a land route. The Times, LA Times wrote in 91. General consensus was that the pipeline could work, but it would not only be costly to build, but also to power the pumping required to move the water. Hahn told reporters he would rather tap water from the Pacific Northwest, but the governors of all those states wrote me nasty letters, so I thought, forget the Columbia River, I'll go higher. California now is facing one of the most severe droughts in history. Irrigation has been slashed, groundwater levels in some parts of the San Joaquin Valley have sunk to record lows. Governor Brown has ordered urban communities across the state to cut water. Shatner said even if his Seattle pipeline doesn't work, he hopes it will increase awareness of the drought. Now, you know, I thought about something like this because there were those stories about how up in the Northeast over the winter, you know, they got slammed with all the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Massachusetts, they were like dumping snow into the ocean. Like they had nowhere else to put it.
Right.
I'm sitting there going, well, that's all, you know, that's all water that I think with a minimal amount of filtering, we could all, you know, like we wouldn't even need to do anything else. Take the snow, dump it into our reservoirs in California. Like we have...
We have the means to...
We have, yeah. You know, uh-huh. like the water. The water would then go into our systems and get filtered and all that. And mm-hmm. it would be presumably drinkable.
Well, yeah, know? Once it goes through all the filtering. I mean, it's not like we don't have the filtering process. We just don't have
you
the
know, water. Because in my mind, I'm sitting here going, okay, how much money and resources have we put into creating these huge infrastructures to move oil? Is it harder to do the same thing with water? Like, I understand...
No, it'd be easier, actually.
That there might come a point where water, if it's piped really far for a long period of time, like, maybe it starts to become... Something about it makes it not drinkable anymore or
something. I don't know about that. I mean, I think you'd have to look into that. But the thing is, like, I know... With the oil, some of it's got to be heated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pipeline has to be mm-hmm. heated. And you'll see, like, photos of, you know, like, I don't know, moose or something out in the wilderness next to one of these. They're standing next to these pipelines because they're warm, you know? You know, I mean, there's you have to heat it. And obviously, the oil's toxic. So if it leaks, you have a big problem, which we do have on the coast of California right now.
Yeah, we're actually got an oil spill.
We have an
right
oil
now.
Spill as well. So yeah. But the water, I mean, like, you know, like Shatner was saying, if it leaks, you're irrigating something, you know. It's not unless, you know, it's a huge pipeline of water and all of it breaks and goes into somebody's house, you know, or something like that.
Well, but, yeah.
In general, I mean, you know, okay, flood damage sucks, but compared to oil, you know. And it's not like we could take, like, if we decided, I don't know, as a nation, let's stop pumping oil in these, you know, pipelines all across the nation and use it for water. I mean, we couldn't just do that. We'd have to clean it. And I don't know if it could be cleaned, you know. But it seems like the process involved of moving oil across, you know, huge spaces.
Yeah.
It should be even easier to move water, you know.
Right. Yeah, it seems, it just seems logical to me. Now it's just a matter of, you know, somebody's... Well, I mean, if you know, Shatner's Kickstarter works and he can raise $30 billion, I feel like we could get at least, you know, a few hundred feet accomplished.
Yeah, something. Right.
All right, Jen, well, you got anything else?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay. Let's try again. Hey. Thanks, everybody, for listening. HyperNonsense.com is the web of choice. We want to see your cheese fry picks. Hashtag Cheese Fry Club. Let us know about them. If you don't like social... If you're not on the socials, or you just don't want to share your cheese fry picks with the world, you can email us, show@HyperNonsense.com. You can email us anyway.
We should set up, like, a gallery of cheese fries, you know?
Yeah.
We should totally do that. That'd be fun.
And then if we get enough submissions, we can put together a coffee table book.
Yeah. Well, we'd have to have permission to print their photo. I mean, you know. But we'll work that out later.
And anyone who posts a photo with the hashtag Cheese Fry Club gives HyperNonsense worldwide exclusive rights for all mechanical reproductions in all media here from out throughout all of... history and the past.
Oh, okay. So kind of like those big media companies that find someone who's got a photo and says, click yes to give us your photo forever with all of the rights and right. nothing for you. You know? Yeah, we're not doing that. No, just put up a gallery. Galleries are fun.
You can call or voicemail anytime, 805-725-5085. We'd love to hear from you. We'll play it on the show. And you can follow @HyperNonsense on Twitter. I keep hearing that the Google's Plus is on its way out.
I keep hearing that, too.
So, I don't know what's going on anymore. But for the time being, you can still go to HyperNonsense.com/Google and join our Google Plus community. I don't think we're up to 10 yet.
Yeah, probably not. But it's Google Plus. That could be the problem.
But I will say this. Like, last week, you know, we just kind of decided, there's really no reason to do a show. Last week, we didn't have anything to talk about. So But I did post on Twitter, and I did post on the Google Plus group. So if things it seems like it's been a while, you know, you check those things, and you'll probably find an update. So everyone in the wonderful land of everything that ever was cheese fry related, thank you so much for listening. With any luck, we'll be back with you next week.
Bye, people.
Oh,